What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Two realistic perspective trade offers. And without being able to fall back on the, well, I'm going to say no to any trade offer because Ben Cherington is bad luck in trades.
Okay.
So you can't say you are actually in, for the purpose of this discussion, you are the one that's making the decision here.
Okay.
Right?
And I'm a very smart person.
So the first one is with the Cubs. The Cubs have Justin Steele out for the year, who was their ace. And I think Imanaga's still out too, who was an all-star last year as a rookie. He was the guy that was maybe in closest contention with the pitcher in closest contention with Skeens for the rookie of the year. Jackson Merrill in San Diego ended up being the runner-up, but had a very good rookie year. The Cubs have a first baseman catcher prospect.
Who's somehow only 5'8",
whose name is Moises Ballesteros.
Ballesteros.
He is the same last name as one of Mulsey's favorite golfers from the 1980s and
70s.
Yes.
Sebe. Yeah. Okay. They have, like, I think three guys in the top 70, but they're in that same range
now,
prospect.
Cassie is the top prospect, but he is apparently off limits. He is not getting traded.
Okay.
That's what
prospect number three is. The other one I can't remember.
That is what the baseball gurus in Chicago are saying. Their own spin on the Mitch Keller rumors is that
no Cassie.
This is the guy, Ballesteros, who they would trade. He is a left-handed hitter. He is. Did you say 5'8"?
He is like Pudge Rodriguez.
He is a portly guy.
What's he listed at? 5'8", like a $1.95?
That is what the MLB.com profile on him says. He actually, Baseball Reference says 215. They think he's bigger than that. They're
so
probably
He is just hefty.
And they like the big hefty first basemen. We know that. 69 games at AAA this year, hitting .331.
The man has a straight up like beer gut.
he hits .331 at AAA. 888 OPS. Last year at AAA and AA combined, he hit 19 homers and drove in 78 runs. I mean, look, you've got Horwitz playing first, but, you know, he's played different positions, Horwitz. This guy, I think you'd want to, you'd make that trade and you'd want him on your big league roster the next day, no? Don't you think?
I mean, MLB.com's top 100 where they have him, they say he's a this year guy. He's already made his major league debut.
He's only played five games.
He does have a couple runs batted in, which would automatically make him one of the better players in the Pirates. Till these last six games, I guess I can't make those jokes because they scored all these runs.
All right. So what would be your appetite to make that trade? Keller for Ballesteros?
That's all? It's a straight up deal?
One for one. You get a bat, you get a big league ready bat for Mitch.
No, because I'm trading a big league established pitcher of some repute. I mean, we know that Mitch here locally, you and I have pointed out that he's faded badly each of the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But he's much more of a known commodity. I can't do a straight up trade there one for one. No. General Manager Mueller says no.
How about you, Donnie?
No, I wouldn't want to do one for one. And I like they have to be tough on these because they should know that Mitch Keller is going to be one of the biggest names at the deadline. Like maybe behind like Alcantara, he'll be the second.
Yeah,
best
other than Alcantara,
pitcher.
How many other pitchers are out there, Pony, that are gonna on teams that are automatically going to be sellers? So the Rockies, let's say the Marlins, the Pirates, the Nationals, the White Sox, and the who else is really stinky? Who am I forgetting?
Did you
the
name...
A's, probably. The A's are bad.
I guess Luis Severino would be another one.
Okay, I'm just... Yeah, so on the teams that we know are going to sell, how many pitchers are definitely better than Keller that are going to be available? Starting pitchers. You say Severino? You say Alcantara?
I'm not even... no joke, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm being dead serious about this. If I'm another team that needs... If I'm the Cubs, right... I think I'd rather have Heaney than
Lefty.
Keller. Well, not only that, but he's going to be cheaper. And he's pitched in the World Series before. His numbers are better this year. And I'm not worried about the big drop-off. And I'm not going to pay him a lot of money. So you're asking who are the better starting pitchers that would be available. I think they got one on their team that's more attractive.
Do you think that he is then more attractive to every team or just, I guess, yeah, you wouldn't say certain teams. You'd say everybody would look
well,
at
do
him.
You disagree with that
The only thing I
logic?
Can think of is, is there any team out there that's a contender that somehow has an overwhelming abundance of left-handed starting and they actually want a righty? I know it usually goes the other way. Everyone has righties and they don't have enough lefties, but... Is there any team out? I'm asking you from your, because I know you're like an encyclopedia for this. If there's a team that's a contender that actually could use specifically a right-handed mid-rotation starter, like they don't want a lefty, they've got enough of that.
I don't know. There's not like a team that jumps right to my
okay.
Top so
the
of
case
mind
is really, is Keller even the most valuable trade chip on his own team?
We think he'd get the most back in return, and he should because there's more years of control.
That's what I mean, and I think like you can make the case that he's also like known enough. I mean, you said Heaney's got better numbers
this year, yeah. Well, not anymore, I guess.
His ERA is a half run higher. The FIP is worse. Like Keller's actually under pitching.
Yeah,
what he should
you know
be.
What? I would say you're right. I mean, the last two starts have changed it. A week ago, Keller did have worse numbers than Heaney, but now he doesn't. You're right about that.
So, I mean, Heaney's not far off with, like, whip. I mean, he's, like, he doesn't allow a ton of, you know, hitters to reach base and all that stuff. He's good in those respects. Dude, is Bailey Falter all that much less desirable then?
Another good one. I mean, they've got three
Falter's,
guys.
Falter, I'm not going to get in the weeds on advanced stats. ERA plus, above 100 is good, below 100 is bad, 100 is average. Skeens is 209. That's the best in the league. Falter's next best among their guys who have started a bunch of games. He's 117, Keller's 116, Heaney's 102.
Yeah.
So, like, you can make an argument that Falter, age-wise, he's younger than Keller. Not by a lot, but he is. He's cheaper. He still has... How many years of team control is somebody going to have if they get Bailey Falter?
At least
he's
two.
He's not eligible to be a free agent until 2029. He's not he's arbitration eligible next year. I would say...
He's got 3 years left.
I mean, is Falter the most desirable?
I don't really think of Falter being on the trade market because of what you just said there. I don't think they really have a huge interest in trading him because he's good and he's cheap and he's under team control. Keller's under team control, but he's expensive.
No, you're right. I mean, and Heaney is going to get dealt only because he was a one-year guy anyway.
But I think teams will want him.
No, he's a lefty having a good year. I mean, Tyler Anderson?
Yeah, look, Quintana was good for St. Louis after the Pirates traded him. He got them to the playoffs.
What is it about these lefties? Jay Happ came here when the Pirates traded for him and became God.
Well, the ballpark
walking.
Helps.
Yeah, but I mean, broadly speaking, I think in baseball, it seems like lefties who get dealt like this tend to do pretty well.
Lefties on the Pirates is usually a pretty good bet. So you guys both say no to that trade,
yeah,
huh?
To go back to your original question, but you're trading a player who is established to at least some degree.
Yep.
Enough to have gotten a contract from the Pirates
yep.
who don't give them out for a lottery ticket still. I don't care that the guy's played a handful of major league games. He's absolutely a lottery
ticket.
Well,
he's not as much of a lottery ticket as, like, you take a kid that's 17 years old who's
he's closer to single A. He's closer to the big leagues, but he's still...
He's raked at Triple A.
But that isn't the big leagues.
I understand that.
That's why I can't... Throw me in something else that at least is... Throw me a live arm who's in A ball.
Okay.
Do that, and then I probably... Then we can talk.
All right. Here's the other realistic one. David Bednar and Dennis Santana to the Phillies for their top outfield prospect, Justin Crawford, who is at AAA right now. He's 21 years old, 341 there, 866 OPS, 26 steals, two homers, 29 RBIs, center fielder, but you'd probably play him in left. You do that deal.
Isn't he more valuable with minimal power numbers if you some, but you wouldn't move Cruz again because you're trying to get him to just stick in one place?
Right. But now you've got.
If you run it through the filter of.
He'd be a Marte type.
If you run it through the filter of a PNC Park left fielder doesn't have to be a massive power guy because that left field is so challenging. There's two center fields there.
Listen, he's a career 322 hitter in the minor leagues. Would you do that?
They just project him as not a guy that's necessarily a big power guy ever.
They project him as like a, more of a throwback leadoff hitter. Get on base.
Does he take a lot of walks?
35 this year.
What about strikeouts? I'm curious.
54.
So you know what I would actually? Doesn't strike out a lot, takes a decent number of walks. And you're trading relievers for
on base percentage, 415 in the minor leagues.
Yes, I would do that.
You trade both of those arms, huh?
I think I would.
Donnie?
Yeah, I'd be more inclined to do that deal. It's a couple of arms that you know won't be here the next time you're good. Like that's the other thing with Keller. There's like a chance that he's still here the next time you're good, but you can also replenish a bullpen way easier. And the Pirates have actually showed they've shown that multiple times.
You might have eventually in Carmen Majinski a closer who's better than either of those guys, a late-inning guy, if you can just convince him that that's what he needs to do.
And this dude actually looks like he's a proven hitter who hopefully they can't screw up.
But he's a lottery ticket just like Ballesteros because it's AAA stats to go by Malzi's line.
Yeah, but you're trading relievers, not starters, and starters are harder to find.
Unless you're the Pirates and it seems like you're flush with them.
For the first time in how many years? Like truly flush with them?
Since they had Liriano, Burnett, Cole, Morton.
Right, which is the only other time in 30-plus years that they've actually played winning baseball.
Actually, when they, in 2018, when they had a winning record, they actually got very good pitching that year. Remember how good Trevor Williams was?
Mayamo Trevor, your
Jameson Taillon was great that year, too. That was 2018. People forget about that year that they had a winning record. It was really only those two guys who pitched well. Taillon 14-10, Williams 14-10. Williams had a 3.11 ERA in 31 starts. That's a good year that is just lost to the abyss. And their bullpen was awesome.
That was a bit of a strange bird.
That was when they had the closer who shall not be named, who was pretty electric that year.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Crick setting him up and fighting him.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Crick definitely in the right there, as we found out.
I'd make that trade.
I kind of thought you were going to say that you would after you kind of questioned my immediate rubber stamp. I don't know. I'm looking at this Justin Crawford. Like, I mean, getting on base is still a skill. He's also, man, I don't know why. I just assume like smaller guy when you say like he's a get on base type, he's a throwback. Dude's 6'2", 190. Because you know what you tell yourself, right? At that point, 6'2", 190, 21 years old, can grow into his body and maybe hit some more home runs. He's a guy whose maybe power would show up if there is some in there. Later in his career, hit 9 home runs last year between high A and double.
Because let's say you make both of those trades, those that are very realistic,
okay,
according to one person inside baseball, then you could say reasonably a year from now, your lineup is Ballesteros at catcher, Horwitz at first, Gonzalez at second, Griffin at short, Hayes at third. Reynolds in right, Cruz in center, Crawford in left. And Hayes would be your 9 hitter in that lineup. So he would be there for the glove.
There's one thing you're putting into that lineup that, man, I hope they'd actually do it, and that's just fast-track Griffin if he actually looks like he can handle it.
Donnie, what did Hyles say about Griffin?
Get the hell out of his way.
Hyles told me last night he thinks that Griffin could be here around this time next year.
That's what I mean, Mulsey. There you go.
I know. I get so gun shy with them in position players because it feels like going back well before even this regime, they just love to screw up the best position guys they can find. Here, hit the ball this way. Take this approach.
And honestly, you could play Ballesteros at first, and then you still have your three catchers who might all suck. And Horowitz would just kind of bounce around.
Horowitz at first, I mean, if there was more power there, I'd want him to stick. He's been slick with the glove. Little play to keep that game 1-0 that ended 1-0.
Ballesteros is more of their first base type under Cherington, which is to say he likes the non-awakened 180 first basemen.
I mean, if Ballesteros were to come here in a trade, and hit, immediate, massively popular jersey.
Because we love fat athletes in Pittsburgh?
People love fat athletes anywhere. People love,
but especially here.
People love athletes who don't look physically like they should be able to do the things that they do.
I agree, but I think we really, really, really like them here.
You think Pittsburgh's a fat athlete town?
I do. Do you agree with that, Donnie?
A fat-leet town.
Yeah.
Yes.
What do you think is the ultimate fat-leet town? Cleveland?
No.
They had Bartolo when he was skinny. New York might be a fat-leet town. They had CeCe. They had Bartolo.
But I don't think they appreciate him like we do. I think they judge them.
Would you have called the late Anthony Mason a fat basketball player?
He wasn't scared.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Kenny. Ray Moore Steelers news today. Omar Khan getting a three-year extension. What would you say has defined the Omar Khan era? If you were to write the story about this extension, what would you say is a way of summing up his existence thus far as Steelers GM?
I think bold, aggressive in terms of making trades. You look at the Chase Claypool trade that leads to Joey Porter Jr. You look at DK Metcalf. And now you look at the Minka trade. And, you know, what's different about the Minka trade is they're moving on from a player who's in his prime. And that's something that they really didn't do a whole heck of a lot under Kevin Colbert. So certainly a different approach to doing things, almost an entirely new scouting staff in place. So, you know, I think his ultimately, Pony, his tenure is going to be defined by what happens in the next 2 years, right? Can he get a franchise quarterback? I think that's ultimately how he's going to be defined. But, you know, I think he's off to a good start with, you know, what he's done so far.
Ray, when you look at Khan's work, how much of it is Omar Khan truly has the agency to remold this front office and this team as he sees fit versus Omar Khan is facilitating things that his boss or bosses, Mike Tomlin, Art Rooney, want done with the roster?
Well, I mean, I think they're all on the same page, and I think it was well overdue what they've done with the offensive and defensive lines. I mean, that needed to be rectified under Kevin Colbert late in his tenure, and, you know, for various reasons it didn't happen. You know, the COVID year and then the cap going down the 1 year kind of threw a whole monkey wrench into things. So, you know, if you look at it, like, Omar really took over at a challenging time. You were coming out of COVID. You know, the salary cap was starting to go up. I think, guys, correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I think a lot of people associate Omar Khan with 2022. He takes over in June of 2022, and sometimes they want to associate him with Kenny Pickett.
No.
Like, no, that was Kevin Colbert's last draft. That was Kevin Colbert's pick, and I think because Kevin left shortly after that, I think a lot of people, you know, don't understand that. So it's really hard to sit here and, like, put a letter grade or really judge Omar just because he had to live with that pick, and they've had a tough time getting out from under that pick here the last 3 years.
Ray, you said something about Minka. You said they traded him in his prime. Do you actually think they view him that way as a player who's still playing his best football?
In terms of his age, he's 28 going on 29. Obviously, Pony, he hasn't played his best in his last two seasons. I wish I knew, like, what, you know, and I'm sure I'll get to the training camp, but I wish I knew, like, if they thought his speed and his athleticism declined. And I'll be interested to see how he plays in Miami, because a guy who's 28 years old, he should not have those qualities diminishing at this point of his career. Now, it's happened before, you know, different guys decline at different times. I'm not saying it's impossible, but, you know, this is the time where really he should be playing his best football. He should be at the height of his athletic talent. So it's going to be a really fascinating trade to look back on, I think, in October, November. You know, see how he's playing, see how Jalen Ramsey is fitting in, how is Jonnu Smith fitting in. I mean, this is pretty close to a blockbuster trade, player for player wise, as you're going to get from the Steelers. So it's going to be you know, fascinating to see how it turns out.
Ray, do you get the sense that there was any kind of fracture or fissure in the Tomlin-Fitzpatrick relationship that precipitated this, given how we always heard that they were in lockstep, that Fitzpatrick was an extension of him on the field and so on and so forth? Had you heard anything about that relationship deteriorating at all with the challenges that they faced last year?
No, and you're right. You know, like, Minka was the first one in the building and always in the film room. Like, you know, Mike would always talk about how he would be in the film room at 7 in the morning and Minka would just walk in and sit down and watch whatever Mike was watching. It didn't even have to be defensive back cut-ups. It could be, like, big picture defensive stuff that they were going to be working on that week. So, no, I haven't heard anything along those lines, but I think in any relationship, you know, when things don't work out over an extended period of time, you know, sometimes both parties just look at it and say, hey, maybe it's best if we just do move on right now. Let's see if Minka can get a fresh start in Miami, and let's see if this new way of doing things with the Steelers defense is going to work out, right? Like, they prioritize Deshaun Elliott. They believe in Deshaun Elliott. You know, they're still a big believer in Patrick Queen, even though that move last year probably didn't bring the returns that they thought it would. But they're going about things in a different manner. As I mentioned, there's new scouts in the building, and you know, Mike is fitting those guys into his system. So it's a new era. I mean, the talk of Cam, TJ, and Minka, that's over now, and You know, we'll see what happens with TJ here, but you still got two of the big three in place, but some new guys are stepping onto the scene as well.
Last hour, Cabale was on. He ripped 4th of July hamburgers and said he'd rather eat a cookie than strawberry pretzel salad, so he was really full of piss and vinegar, Mark. He also said he thinks it's more likely the Steelers, if they're going to make an additional signing before camp, he thinks better odds on safety than wide receiver. Do you agree with him on that at least?
Yeah, guys, I wish I had a better handle on the type of player that Juan Thornhill was. He wasn't really present a lot.
Bad one last year? I mean, he was very bad.
Yeah, I know. I mean, over the course of, he has started a lot of games, though. And, you know, when you change teams, I mean, I get it. He had a bad year. But the bottom line is, guys, I don't know if he is a starting caliber free safety at this point in his career. And I think that's why there's a lot of talk about Jalen Ramsey eventually fitting into that role. So that's a big transition. You know, you go from playing one position your entire life to playing another. There's going to be some bumps in that road. So if that is indeed what's going to happen, this training camp and early in the season is going to be very important if that is the case. So you know, I probably tend to agree with Mark. I think even if they do view Thornhill as a guy that can start, you probably want to get somebody behind him who could push him or, you know, be a pretty good backup, because obviously they just traded away their top player at that position.
Ray, how do you feel about his hamburger and strawberry pretzel salad takes?
Hey, listen, a strawberry pretzel salad is my favorite summer dessert.
Oh.
And I'll tell you what, we now have it. We have it like on Super Bowl Sunday when we have a Super Bowl party. That's how much it's enjoyed in this house. I have no idea where Mark's
are
coming
from.
Are
you aware that the thought is, if you ask like the internet the origins of strawberry pretzel salad, it comes down to Brentwood, Pennsylvania?
Really?
Yes. Apparently, so very much a potential Pittsburgh thing that we have given out there to the world.
I'm very much a fresh strawberry rather than a frozen strawberry pretzel jello salad person.
It really makes that big of a difference. Your taste buds are that discernible and
absolutely able to, absolutely, yeah. Pony. Ray, you got to understand. You're saying this to one person, me, who has come late to the party on strawberry pretzel salad, but I dig it now. Pony, if he was handed a plate of it, would treat that thing like a Frisbee.
It's jello and crushed up pretzels. That sounds disgusting to me.
It's sweet and salty. How can you turn down sweet and salty?
Plus, there's also whipped cream in there.
I don't know. Ask Malzy how he turns down pizza. He won't eat it with melted cheese
on it,
Ray.
That's a childhood aversion to melted cheese from eating it too much.
And tomorrow you can't just do the red jello. Tomorrow you got to be festive and do a combination of red and blue, right, Malzy?
Correct. I mean, if somebody gives me just red and white strawberry pretzel salad, I'm not going to say, how dare you lack the festive nature of
today's...
What was
the whole graham cracker thing that you were spouting off about earlier?
So, Ray, I've also had it made where people mix in a little bit of crushed graham cracker to add to the sweetness of the crust with the pretzel. You ever heard of that?
Well, that's like a box cake that I grew up with. I mean, those are tremendous, but I've never had that.
I've had a strawberry pretzel salad or two where there's just a little bit of graham cracker mixed into that crust mixture, and it takes it to another level even.
I'm showing my age here, but when I was growing up, that was called an icebox cake. So
I actually have heard of those. So
thank you, Ray.
All right, guys. See ya.
Look at that. An emphatic endorsement of SPS, baby.
What a quaint Super Bowl party where strawberry pretzel salad is being served. You know?
And Ray's had plenty of chances to have it recently because he knows he's not going to be working the Super Bowl.
Most people are downing beers and keeping track of how many wings they're going to eat that day. He's just sitting there with his crushed up pretzels on jello mold.
Do you guys still get the thrill of when like a neighbor
cream? Ugh.
You just got me thinking this with wings. Do you guys ever get the random thrill though of a neighbor maybe recommends a place that you weren't aware of near you for something like a wings, and you're like, all right, I'll take them up on it, and they like over deliver on expectations? I won't name it. They don't advertise with us, but a neighbor recommended that Alex said, oh, yeah, Chris and I both want wings. And neighbor goes, you got to have blank place. Pony.
You guys are going to hate this take.
Off the charts.
I know Donnie is already. I feel like I'm kind of growing out of wings.
So you're going to stop having sex by 50.
Mm-hmm.
You're grown out of wings.
How do you grow out of wings?
What a bucket of fun you are.
We just heard a guy say eat strawberry pretzel salad on effing Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm the one that sounds like the old-timer here?
I bet you if we called Ray up, he wouldn't be like, you know what? I've grown out of wings a long time ago.
I that's not to say that I
eat a whole roast turkey handed to me by a servant.
I used to I used to live for wings. Well, I don't anymore.
Is it because of all your working out?
No, I don't. My taste has changed in things.
What's your taste now? Apples and peanut butter and plain salad mix?
No, I still can eat bad. Like, for example, we went to the Anchor Bar that was in Myrtle Beach, which is the original, like, that's where they invented the chicken wing, and it's been franchised out. And there was one right down the street from where we were staying. I was more excited for the beef on WEC than I was wings.
Well, you're picking a very rare thing, though. That's where I would also be more excited for
right,
the beef
but,
on WEC.
Okay, but a lot of people just rank wings number one. And I used to be that guy. And it's not anymore. It's barely in my top 10.
It's not
I
number
get more
one
excited
for me, but
for
I actually
than I would wings.
You know, here's dead ass truth. I am more into wings now than I was 20 years ago. Not even close.
I'd rather have a steak and potato than I would a thing of wings.
Okay, I'd rather have a steak and potato too. I don't know why you're saying it like that. Steak and potato.
You're talking about steak like it's nothing.
Yeah, I'd rather have a humble steak.
Wait a minute. I'm not fighting a straw man here. People legitimately, most guys in our demo would power rank wings one. And I used to.
It's also just associated with like, hey, I'm going out to
party
have some
food.
Wings, have some me beers with the fellas.
Yeah,
like
you're
you know,
out with
buzzing.
The boys. Exactly.
I
Thank
think
you.
That's what it is for me. I like what wings represent more than I like the actual act of eating them.
I very much enjoy the act of eating them, but I also love what they represent.
See, I don't even need the what they represent part, though. I was sitting with my lovely wife eating, sharing wings on the deck 2 days ago, and it was great. Or 3 days ago. I didn't need to be hanging with the fellas. We were just enjoying some well-cooked chicken wings.
All right.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
5:30, a little segment we call TRT, Total Request Thursday, where you pick the topic, you vote, you select what we're going to talk about. And segment brought to you by Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. 14.7% of you said, let's talk about the con artist. The new Steelers GM on the job for just a couple years now, already presented with a new deal, keeping him here through 2028. 14.7% wanted more of that. 17.9% wanted furries. for a convention coming back to town, Anthrocon.
Quick aside.
Biggest in the world.
What percentage of people listening to this show right now are aware of kind of what the furries are all about? What that's really about?
Maybe a lot of them, because only 17.9% wanted more discussion of that.
Good answer by you. Very witty rejoinder.
20.8 said intern Dom is dumb.
I voted for that one.
They wanted a conversation about our intern Dom.
He's actually a part-time employee.
Part-time
now.
Dom. Originally intern Dom in his stupidity. But the winner by far was Big Pirates Trade Rumors at 46.6%.
Keeping up an incredible streak here where I think every time we have one of these TRTs, the real sports topic wins.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Noah Hiles with us from Seattle. All right, Noah, do you have a Big Pirates trade rumor for us?
I do. Rather than sharing it with you, though, I think I'm just going to plug a story that's going to run this weekend. I have a full notebook of trade rumors that I've been working on for the last 2 weeks, talking with a whole bunch of sources.
Noah,
it'll publish this weekend.
How about this?
How about
you tease one of the rumors? You don't have to give us the whole notebook.
Caboodle. Don't empty the notebook.
I'll give you a bullet. So from multiple conversations I've had, I've been told that Ben Cherington is more likely than ever before to step out of his comfort zone this deadline.
What's that mean, in your opinion?
To me, that means potentially moving someone with multiple years of control. I don't know exactly who. It could be Keller. It could be Hayes. It could be Bednar. It could be Santana. It could be Reynolds. It could be any of those guys. But Cherington has a reputation within the baseball community of being someone who's tough to do business with because he overvalues his own assets and overanalyzes any trade proposal that's kind of brought to him. But it seems like now, for maybe a multitude of reasons, that he's willing to maybe step outside his comfort zone and perhaps make the biggest move that he's made since he's taken over as GM here in Pittsburgh.
Noah, do you think that he is motivated? Let me put it this way. If you're putting a percentage right now on the likelihood that Mitch Keller gets dealt, what is it?
That's tough. I think there's more of a likelihood now than ever before. I mean, Mitch has been the subject of trade rumors for a while. I mean, before the extension, even last year, I know teams looked into him. I reported in the offseason that he was on the market. He was available for business if teams wanted to look in with him. But I think there's more smoke now than ever before connected to Mitch Keller.
No,
so it's hard to give a percentage, but I would say that it's more likely than ever before that he gets traded.
Noah, who would make the most sense to trade among that group of Pirates players you named who are under contract? Your Reynolds, your Bednar, your Keller, those guys. Who do you think makes the most sense for them organizationally?
I think two guys. I would say Hayes makes some sense. If you can get a major league player for Ke'Bryan Hayes, I think you take that deal. I think Ke'Bryan Hayes provides value to a certain major league club, just not this one. I think he's better in a lineup that has, you know, five or six hitters that are above league average in OPS. This isn't that team. And so his defensive value isn't really maximized here in this lineup. And if you could get something for him, even if it's another pitcher, if they could get like another Bailey Falter type return or something like that, a reclamation project that they can use as a swing man and add more depth to that pitching staff that can allow maybe an off-season move for another starter to bring in a bat, I think that makes sense. So Hayes would be one guy. And I think Dennis Santana is another guy that they should really, really explore their options with. I think he has a ton of value. I know there are a lot of teams interested in him. And I think there might be a team willing to overpay for him because of the cheap price that he's currently at and because he has another year of control after this one.
Noah, has this team's six-game winning streak, or to what extent, if it has at all, changed like opinions within that building? Are there like people murmuring, going, you know, we could go 7-2 on this road trip, and then we'd be 45-52 and knocking on the door and creeping up. Like, is that happening at all?
No, I think what it affirms is that the team, as they thought it would be coming out of spring training, isn't as bad as what it was in April. At full health, this isn't a team that's 10 games under 500. It's maybe a team that's close to 500, maybe a couple games above, maybe a couple games below. And I think that's what that reinforces. And honestly, that might work in Ben Cherington's favor. I think this is something where he can point at and say, look at this bullpen, look at this pitching rotation. Those are two areas of the team that still are hit by injuries. And then you look at what the position player group looks like at full health. You could say, all together, this is a team that's nowhere near as bad as it was in April. And if it has the right manager, things could have gone differently this year.
Do you agree with that last point? Because I've brought that up, because one of the things that people in baseball like to debate is, a manager really isn't that important. It might be worth one or two wins for a team. I don't know, watching Donnie Kelly versus Derek Shelton's Pirates, I like to think that Donnie Kelly has made a huge difference. And if they'd started the year with them, they'd have a much better record.
I agree with you, Andrew. For two things that stand out to me under Kelly that are big differences. One, I think he runs the bullpen a lot better.
Yes.
There were a lot of times where a guy would come in under Shelton mid-inning, and he would finish that inning in a pretty efficient manner, but he would still be done. Whereas now Kelly, he's using his weapons the way they should be used. He's letting Caleb Ferguson go multiple ups, sometimes multiple innings. There have been times where he's let Dennis Santana record outs in three different innings. Not three complete innings, but log 2 1/3 or something like that. That's what you should be doing when your team is built around pitching. And I think, his bullpen usage, his willingness to let guys develop into new roles, the way he's allowed Chase Shugart and Isaac Mattson to take a step forward, I think that maybe doesn't happen under Derek Shelton. The other thing that I think is the difference between Kelly and Shelton is, and I don't know if this is necessarily an indictment on Shelton or if it's more just circumstance, but Shelton entered this season under a ton of pressure, and he knew that this wasn't going to be a lineup that produced a lot of runs, and he put a lot of emphasis on the team's pitching and fundamentals and clean defense. And I think he put a lot of pressure on these infielders, on really all of the position players, to not make any mistakes while they're out there in the field. And all of those mistakes felt like a much bigger deal than they should have under his leadership this season. And anytime a guy made an error, it felt like the end of the world. And that created a culture where you're afraid to make mistakes. And if you play the game of baseball afraid to make mistakes, you're going to make more mistakes. Whereas Kelly has created a culture where he wants guys to play aggressive and he wants them to play loose and confident. And that's what we're seeing. And as a product of that mentality, we're seeing this team play really good defense. I mean, just look at this past homestand. The infield defense was spectacular, and it probably won them a couple of games. And I don't think that would have happened under Shelton, just based on the situation that he started the season under.
Noah, how do you think Donnie Kelly has done as far as managing O'Neill Cruz and getting the most, or what he's gotten out of him since he's taken over?
I think he's done good. I wouldn't say it's been amazing, but I think he's done well. He held O'Neill accountable, but at the same time, and this is just my own thought on the matter, it's tough to bench O'Neill for an extended period of time, because when you're a team like the Pirates, where you don't have a lot of game-changing bats, even when O'Neill's struggling, he can mishit a ball and have it travel 400 feet and go over the fence.
I agree.
If you're going to bench him, you're punishing the rest of the team because of that. And maybe, I guess you could argue, that's a way to get through to him. It's, you know, you not being out here hurts the rest of your teammates. But it's not fair to Paul Skenes to have O'Neill Cruz on the bench on a day that he's pitching. It's not fair to the hitters before and after him in the lineup to have him on the bench, because he gives them lineup protection. He gives them a better chance.
Is he a pretty popular guy, Cruz, with his teammates? Because the lapses at times I would imagine are frustrating, but then I would say the flip side is what you're saying there, that he can do things other guys just simply can't. So where does it zero out in your experience observing him around his teammates?
You know, that's an interesting question. I wouldn't say he's unpopular. I mean, he seems like a quiet guy. And in baseball clubhouses, you know, and in a lot of teams, I mean, the Latin guys kind of congregate together and the pitching staff kind of, you know, every clubhouse has its friend groups. He seems to have good relationships with certain players. I don't think there's anyone on the team that dislikes him. I think there's some guys.
Is he going to be in the home run derby?
I don't know. I mean, I would certainly love to watch it if he was.
Is Paul Skeens really a big grass guy, or was that said tongue-in-cheek?
I mean, what's funny is he wasn't even messing with grass when I saw that, like, in that picture. He's kicking dirt around with his feet. Mm-hmm. But my goodness, I didn't know the biggest scoop I'd have of my entire career would be about a pitcher saying he wants to pull a Forrest Gump and cut that grass for free after he's a gazillionaire.
What's the deal with these signs on the jump on the right field scoreboard?
Yeah, what's
can you
up
tell
with
us
that?
More about Tim and
is this
Cheryl?
A bit?
Yeah, is this a bit, a work? What is it?
I don't know. I haven't. It's July. My investigative reporting duties
are. Are these signs real? There are people saying some of this was photoshopped.
If you're like me, I like to believe in love, and I think we've got a great love story going on in the North Shore right now.
Sounds like a love triangle.
Yeah, that's a very good point. But I hope it's real. It's probably not. Either way, I'm entertained.
No, but the physical messages are appearing on the Jumbotron, right? Like, this isn't somebody just taking a picture and then photoshopping it.
Those are there, yeah. I think I was off the one day, but I saw the second one for sure.
Cabali said strawberry pretzel salad is disgusting. Fittipaldo said he likes it so much, it's now a family tradition to eat on the Super Bowl Sunday. Where do you come down? Would you like to break the tie between these two sports writing behemoths?
I'm somewhere in the middle. I don't think I'm having it on Super Bowl Sunday. God forbid I just have a mild take on something, Andrew. My goodness. I like it. I don't need to serve it every Super Bowl Sunday, but I like it. I like it.
That's kind of like Donnie's take on it.
Yeah.
How about Cabali saying one of the most overrated foods there is the 4th of July hamburger?
That's one of many bad takes from him.
Yeah.
Thank you, Noah.
All right, Noah. We'll talk soon. Goodbye.
All right. Yep. Bye.
You know what I hear, speaking of overrated? That place in Seattle where he's at where they throw the fish around.
Pike Place Fish Market?
Yeah.
I'd still want to see those people whipping the old fish around.
But how long can you just watch people throw fish?
I could watch it like two or three throws. I think the whole point is... Each guy tries to make
a hands catch. But that's your tourist attraction?
Each
people
guy tries
watching
to make
a fish
hands
being thrown
catch at the last second. They try to catch it very much out from their body. You're not body catching that thing. No, the whole market that's part of is one huge area.
You think Luis Ortiz, when he went to Seattle, bet on that? Is the guy going to catch it? Yes or no?
You're like minus one. Whispers in the guy's ear. Come on, just drop this one. Do you think if you went to Seattle?
Yep.
Have you been before?
No.
Would you go to a Starbucks there or go to the original Starbucks just to say you went to it? Or is it still Starbucks to me? There's no charm anymore. I'm going to look for a coffee shop that's different.
I actually take that back.
Okay.
Here's
why.
It
was a world record reversal.
It was. Because I do think the original is always better than when it turns into a chain and there's franchises. So if you can get back to the original, I would like to see if the original Starbucks tastes better than all the...
If they've just...
Millions of other ones
Why would
there.
It taste any better, though? Isn't the whole point of a place like that that they can,
you've
make,
never
it
heard,
they can make it repeatable, though?
But you've never heard that the original Permane Brothers in the Strip is better than all the rest of them? You've never heard that
I mean,
before.
Isn't that... I've heard that, and I...
You think it's urban legend?
No, I've been to the original one. I think part of it's the ambiance.
So you don't think the food is actually better, it's just
isn't
the...
Isn't the... Well, just let me finish my point.
I'm
isn't
allowing you to.
Isn't the entire purpose of a place like Starbucks getting... Isn't the entire reason it gets big is because they are able to very repeatably make the same quality cup of coffee anywhere you go in the country? You know what Starbucks is going to taste like?
Yeah.
Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show and, in my opinion, the superior of the two by far.
Is that because they advertise with us and the other one doesn't?
I tend to like Dunkin' Donuts a lot more. Isn't the whole point, though, that it's supposed to be repeatable? Or else how could you have a franchise that goes and does big numbers like that?
Yeah, it is supposed to be repeatable, but it becomes repeatable because the original was damn good.
Where was the original McDonald's? Wasn't it down in, like, Uniontown?
No, I think it was in California.
Okay, but it was a Uniontown guy.
I think Uniontown is where the Big Mac got embedded.
So is the original McDonald's probably...
And Ray Kroc's not the original. He stole it from the McDonald's brothers. You got to go watch that movie with Michael Keaton.
So anyway, is the original McDonald's presumably better than all the other ones still?
Yes.
To this day?
Well, the original one I don't think is open anymore.
Well, why? If it's so much better, it should never have closed.
Because he just stole all their stuff and they were forced to close, I think is what happened.
Okay.
Anyways.
Interesting how your brain is working on this one.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.